One Palm Sunday, little Jimmy was feeling very sick. He'd been sick all night and he wanted to go to church with his dad, but he couldn't. He had to stay home with his mother. Well, when his dad came home, he brought one of these with him. And little Jimmy said, "What was that for, Dad?" So his dad said, "You see, when Jesus came to town, everybody waved palm branches to honour him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy, little Jimmy, said, "Oh no." And his dad said, "Why?" And he said, "The one Sunday that Jesus turns up and I missed it." Well, praise God, Jesus turns up every Sunday and we don't miss it. I don't know about you, but we were watching, you know, the normal breakfast programme on TV the other morning, and then suddenly it changed to the Pope actually, you know, parading through the Vatican Square, St. Peter's Square, in the Popemobile. And every now and then, you know, instead of just going straight to where he was going to, he sort of went round and round and stopped and went and prayed for people, went and blessed people. And at one point he saw a disabled man and got out and went and really laid hands and blessed him. And both Duncan and I looked at each other and said, "Isn't it like Palm Sunday?" You know, all the crowds were there cheering and saying, you know, what's he going to do next? He's going to make big changes. You know, what's going to happen next? And all their hopes and dreams centred on this one man. And, you know, we got to thinking, you know, things are probably going to be different there. We do hope and pray that things will be different in the Catholic Church. We mightn't agree with some of them, but let's pray that this man does make a big difference. But yes, it reminded us so much of Palm Sunday. The crowd are all there, you know, in eager anticipation. This Jesus was going to make such a difference to them. Well, he was, but not in the way that they expected it. I want to read from Matthew chapter 21. I think all my readings are going to be up on the overhead. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth to Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Amen. This is one of the few incidents in the life of Jesus that's told in all four of the Gospels, so we know it must be significant, both now and then. The long-awaited Messiah had come, the King of Israel, King of the whole earth. Jerusalem would be the center. From here he would rule the world. What a day it was. What would he do first? Throw out the Romans? Call down fire from heaven? And he was making public his claim to be their Messiah, to be the King of Israel, in fulfillment of all that was written about him in the Old Testament. He's riding into his capital city as conquering king, and he's cheered and hailed as king in the manner of the people of the day. It wasn't unusual, when Roman generals or kings rode into their capital cities, and the people would go out and cheer them in this manner. And like a king, he rides to his palace, in his case a spiritual one, the temple. All along the way, he receives worship and praise because he deserves it. On many occasions, he used to say to his disciples and the people that he'd healed and touched, don't tell anyone, just go away, don't tell anyone what I've done. But on this occasion, he doesn't tell his disciples and the people to be quiet. And in Luke's gospel, it says, that Jesus said, if they didn't praise me, the very stones would praise me. We love the songs of Ron Canole, and on one occasion he was saying, I ain't gonna let no stone outpraise me. We want to be the same, don't we? We're not going to let any stone outpraise us. We want to praise our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Hosanna, they shouted as they waved their palm branches. And that comes from an ancient Hebrew word meaning save us now. Save us now, Hosanna. He was going to save them, but in a very different way to the way that they thought. He was going to set up his kingdom, but his kingdom was going to be a very different kingdom to the one that they thought. Earthly kingdoms come and go, but his kingdom will last forever and ever. And Palm Sunday is just a rehearsal, really. There's an eternal Palm Sunday talked about in Revelation chapter 7, and we're all going to be there. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Our worship's only a rehearsal for the age to come. One day we're going to stand in white robes that we haven't deserved but that have been bought for us by the precious blood of Jesus. We're going to stand with millions upon millions from all corners of the world and hold palms in our hands and praise him. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time it's going to be. And all the Lord will see will be a sea of green waving and praising him. Praise and adoration to him. And if Jesus had taken his throne that first Palm Sunday, none of us would be able to take our place on that eternal Palm Sunday. there had to be a cross first before the crown. And the people and the disciples just did not understand that. Yet Jesus had told his disciples many times that he was going to suffer and to die, but they just didn't believe him or understand him. The people saw him as a king moving in to take control. And he was. His victory would be over sin and death. Over all the giants we've been talking about recently, all the enemies, his victory would be won through suffering, agony, and the shedding of his precious blood. The kingdom the crowd were looking for would be thousands of years away. But it is coming. Amen. And Jesus, from the very beginning of creation, his purpose was to come to die. We're told about the lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. There was always a cross in the mind of God. Always Jesus was coming to die. Duncan and I were talking the other day, and I've always loved the paintings of Holman Hunt. You're probably familiar with the one where he's standing outside a door. It's called The Light of the World. You know, I stand at the door and knock. But this one is not quite as well known. It's called The Shadow of Death. And it's funny, we were talking about this the other day, and then I sort of picked up my daily readings a couple of days later, and that was talking about this painting as well. But it's about... It's a picture of Jesus in the carpenter's shop. He's obviously had a very busy day, and he's sort of, you know, waving his hands. His arms are probably tired with working on the wood all day long, and Mary kneeling at his feet. But it's called The Shadow of Death, and if you look on the wall behind him, it's like a picture of the cross and what was coming. You know, Jesus was always single-minded. He knew there was a cross coming. He knew where he was going. Thank you. And the next reading, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Resolutely, you know, he was going there. And in the King James Version, which I like of this verse, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Absolute determination, absolute goal, you know, that's where he was going. And at one time Peter tried to say, oh no, not you, Lord. And he, you know, Jesus answered in really strong language and actually called, get behind me, Satan. You know, that's where I'm going. There's no other way. And in Isaiah chapter 50, a very similar sort of verse. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. Set his face like flint. And he would not be ashamed. And, you know, although he knew what was in store for him, he resolutely and determinedly went towards it. It was for this purpose that he came. He hadn't got a sat-nav system in his life, but he knew exactly where he was going and went straight for it. Always on target, always moving towards that one goal. He could so easily have been sidetracked. He could have led a revolution. The people were there ready and waiting. He could have been the leader of that nation. He could simply have been a great teacher, which he was, or a great physician. But he chose to be a savior. You know, they shouted, Hosanna, save us now. He chose to be a savior. He was so focused that his final words on the cross were, it is finished. It's accomplished. There was still hungry people to feed. There were still sick people to heal. There's still people who needed teaching, people who needed loving, but he'd completed what he came to do. And I thought, what a contrast to the crowd that Palm Sunday. They moved within a few days from Hosanna to crucify him. So swayed by the crowd and what everyone else was doing. You know, seeking to be people pleasers, not God pleasers. You know, fear of man rather than fear of God. We've been talking about giants over the last couple of months, and that's just one I wanted to mention a little bit this morning. One of the giants we face is this one: what will people think? And it's a very powerful one. The great giant, or the great God, as we used to call it, people think. You're about to do something or to say something which you feel God wants you to do, and then you suddenly get this: but what's everybody going to think? You know, perhaps God's given you a word or something in church one day, and you sort of stew about it, think about it for a while, and you think, well, should I get up? Shouldn't I? If I do get up, what will people think? If I get it wrong, what's everybody going to think? I've learned over the years that it doesn't matter what people think. You know, if God's given me something, I'd rather please God than please everybody else. And it doesn't matter if it's not for anybody or what. It's just, you know, where I feel that God has given me. And I think we should all, you know, be like that. If God's given you something to say, then say it. Or, you know, if you've been touched by something that's been said up at the front here, and you feel God's asking you to respond, then don't sit there thinking, well, what's everybody going to think if I go up with prayer? It doesn't matter. The important thing is not to miss out on anything that God has for you. We were fortunate. We were trained in an organisation where all the leaders went to the front first. If there was any, you know, invitation to come out to the front for prayer, they were always there first. They didn't want to miss out on anything that God had for them. And I, you know, feel the same. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me just because of what anybody else might think. Okay. You know, other giants that we can face if God's asking us to do something is unbelief. You know, is God really saying that to me? Unbelief, doubt. Or putting off for another day what God's asking us to do today. I don't want to be full of doom and gloom, but none of us know how much time we've got left. You know, if God's asking us to do something, then we need to get on and do it. You know, maybe we'll never fully understand this side of eternity, or maybe, you know, thousands of years into eternity, what the cross really means, all that the cross means. It's so much more than forgiveness. It's healing, restoration, deliverance, and stopping the power of these giants in our lives. We talked a lot about them over the last few months. You know, giants of unbelief, giants of depression, of rejection. Yes, depression too. Other giants that we've had. The giants of offence. When David killed Goliath, he cut off his head and he took it back to Jerusalem and buried it. Now, one of the other names for Calvary is Golgotha, the place of the skull. And it is thought, it's never been proved, that is the place where the giant's head is buried. And when you think about it, the cross of Jesus was on that place. The giant was under his feet. That cross, you know, has brought an end all the power that those giants that we have in our lives have. You know, it's under his feet. You know, these giants are powerless unless we allow them to say otherwise. The cross has cut off the power of all these Goliaths, and we've got to believe that. Don't let the giants of people think, unbelief and doubt and putting things off till tomorrow, stop what God is telling you to do today. You have a destiny. Each and every one of us has a purpose. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has promised in the light. I just feel that's really for someone here today. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has promised you in the light. The story of Palm Sunday is one of many contrasts. The story of a king who came as a lowly servant, not on a magnificent horse that the people wanted, not in splendid royal robes, but on a donkey and in ordinary clothes. He didn't come to conquer like earthly kings, but he conquered hearts by love, grace, mercy, and sacrifice. His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor like they were used to in those days, but of lowliness and servanthood. He doesn't conquer nations, he conquers hearts and minds. And if Jesus has made his triumphant entry into our hearts, he reigns there as King in peace and love, so that the world may see the true King living and reigning in us. Let's shout Hosanna this Palm Sunday, a foretaste of the eternal Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.